Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John. In my podcast, you know that I do frequently go outside of the dental box to learn what's going on and what people have gone through in their lives to overcome adversity or to learn about philosophies, concepts, principles, to bring them back into our dental box to help us grow and learn and get better at what we're doing and what we want to do, to help broaden our dreams and visions and broaden and have a greater understanding of our purpose and what we're about. So today, I'm really excited to have who's become a friend, Lori Wild. And Lori, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell people what you do.
Okay. First, so great to be here, and thank you for asking me to be on the podcast.
Certainly.
I am Lori Wild. I'm a voice actor, and we actually go by a lot of different names. Some people call themselves voiceover artists, voiceover actors. There's different names. I choose voice actor because it's acting. So what I do is I record voiceover for commercials, radio, audio description, narration, radio imaging, promo, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that has a voice underlying with a video. So you watch a commercial on TV and maybe it's just images. Well, there's a voice underneath that that you hear but can't see. And that's me, the invisible voice. So that's kind of a short answer to that. But we do everything. Anything that is asked of us that requires voiceover, we're there.
If you are paying attention, I'm going to ask you, do you recognize her voice, audience? Some of you may. Lori is doing the intro and the outro for my podcast for me. And I got acquainted with Lori through LinkedIn. And I was cruising through LinkedIn a month and a half ago. Actually, I kind of cruise frequently to look for people that I would like to have as guests on my podcast to accomplish some of the objectives I'm looking for. And I ran across Lori, and the voice acting title caught my eye. And I just thought I would reach out to Lori. And we did. We had a great conversation the first time, and just felt a nice little connection. And the interesting thing about it, Lori, also is in our conversation, we learned after a few minutes that you live 5 minutes from me here in Kansas City.
I know that kind of happens in Kansas City, right?
Yeah, Kansas City is the place. People just don't know it, Lori, out there. They just
it's a large city, but a small town sometimes.
Exactly. It's a town with a big heart and a big winning football team, too.
Go Chiefs.
Lori, I would like for you to share your story with the audience. And part of the reason that I think your story is interesting is because you have had some setbacks in life. You have had, you know, certain pain moments, obstacles to face, and you had to make a decision with each one of those. So I'm going to let you share. I may interrupt politely with some questions as you're going along, but let's talk about your story.
Okay. Let's start a long, long, long time ago. When I was a kid, I went through a lot of traumatic experiences and bullying, different things, things at home, you know, just lots of little things over the years. And that, I believe, really gave me stage fright, which I'm sure a lot of you know, getting up in front of people, just it's like standing on the edge of a cliff, right? So, but I always wanted to be an actor. I tried out for plays. I don't know how, you know, when I was 7 years old, trying out for things and having stage fright and not understanding why I felt sick getting up in front of these people or, you know, sweaty or heart racing. And, but I did it anyway, but not that many times because I didn't push forward with it. So I always knew somewhere inside of me was a creative person that could act or write or something. And I never really ventured down that road because The traumas kept coming over and over and over again, beating me down. But I kept rising up, joining sports teams, the band, which all require being in front of an audience. So I swam basketball, volleyball, tennis. I played the flute for 4 years. All of that was terrifying. But again, I did it. I don't believe I was living to my fullest potential for any of that, because that underlying fear was kind of masking some of that. But for the most part, once I got going and I was out, it was fine. It was better. But anyway, and even after that, I still knew I wanted to be an actor. I really enjoyed and escaped through TV, film, music. All of that was my escape. I was very introverted, very shy, ridiculously tall. I was 5'11 in seventh grade and had braces for years, you know, all the things that made me stand out and people stared at me. Still do to this day, especially when I wear heels. I just didn't want to be looked at. So that really held me back from all of that. And I had some health issues. I had endometriosis, which I don't think we talked about, but I had that for years. It got worse as I got older. And then in my 20s, I woke up one day with most of my hearing gone. And I didn't know what happened. I just woke up and couldn't hear. I could hear, but it was muffled, like when you have earplugs in. And I didn't have health insurance at the time. I didn't have a job. So I just let it lie. I was very depressed at the time for many reasons and went for years like that without hearing aids. I eventually got tested and I knew that I was severely hearing impaired. Starting using closed captioning, I couldn't, you know, understand people around me. I don't know how I got through the workplace, but I did. I used to be a vet tech. So again, how am I going to act if I can't hear? Fast forward a little bit further, decided to get hearing aids because I ditched the vet tech life and decided to be a personal trainer. I wanted to work for myself. You know, I was always an athlete into fitness. And so I started a personal training business about 13 years ago. And I had to get hearing aids. I couldn't hear my clients. So I did that. They were fair. Hearing aids weren't great, but they got me communicating and hearing better. And then fast forward to more. Ended up having a hysterectomy 6 years ago, and that solved one of my health issues, the endometriosis. Then the technology just kept getting better with the hearing aids, right? Each time I got new ones, they were better, and better equals more money. Just FYI, people, for hearing aids, you know, the cheaper versions, unfortunately, do not work as well as the more expensive ones. So I had to save. And after that surgery, I had a whole new outlook on life. My quality of life was better. And I was scrolling through Facebook one day and I saw someone that did voice acting. And I thought it was too old. You know, I was, you know, close to 40 and she was 7-8 years older than me, doing it and successful. And she just started in her 50s, I think. I sat on that for a year because I'm the type of person that once I commit to something, I'm committed. So I knew that I had to think about it and I plan. And I planned for an entire year. And I knew that as soon as I reached out to her and she told me what to do, I would follow all of her instructions. And I did. And she told me how to get started and what to start doing, get a coach, et cetera, buy equipment. I jumped in and I never stopped and I just kept going. And then the pandemic hit and that was really rough. It was tough for a lot of voice actors because it was just, you know, a lot of stuff was in studios and it was just a hard time mentally. Also, my mom's in senior living. I was worried about her, you know, worried about myself. I have an autoimmune disease. I was scared that something was going to happen to me. So voice acting was kind of an escape for me. And yeah, just kept coaching, made demos. And turns out I'm good at it. I had no idea. I knew something was in there. Sometimes you just know if you have a skill without even doing it. And that was always internally something that I knew. I had all of these emotions to express. And I knew that I could be a good actor. And I've gradually improved over the years, and I have regular clients and agents, and I am incredibly blessed and grateful. It's harder for someone, you know, that hasn't been in the business for 20 years or has zero acting background, no school, nothing. All I had was coaches that really, I found some amazing coaches and mentors that have led the way for me and just really taken me under their wing and saw the potential in me and the talent. And I would say they held my hand, but they definitely embraced me and I followed all their directions. I don't like to constantly email my mentors or my coaches every day and ask questions. I like to figure things out on my own, and I did. And here we are on this podcast. And that's kind of a long story. There's a lot more I could talk about, but that's kind of the gist of how I landed here. It's been a journey. There's been a lot of ups and downs. I got new hearing aids in there somewhere that were amazing, so much better. I hear great in my booth with the headphones on over my hearing aids, which in the past, hearing aids did not handle that well. I don't know if you've ever hugged somebody with hearing aids. You get the feedback when you get too close. These do not do that. No. And I don't know that I couldn't have done this 10 years ago. I don't think I could have without these type of hearing aids because I wouldn't fully be able to hear the audio. It was almost like everything kind of fell into place at the same time. And I see things happen like that all the time in my life that, you know, like, oh, is that a coincidence? I don't know. You know, it just kind of all came together. And I love this job. I love working for myself. And it's very unpredictable, but I just love it. I would rather do this than anything else. And I just got a new booth too, about four months ago.
It's very nice.
Which is a big game changer. Yeah.
I
was working out of a PVC booth with double walled blankets, and you could still hear lawnmowers, leaf blowers, all that stuff. Now I can still hear that in here if it's, you know, right next door, but if it's several houses down, I can't hear it. The other booth, I could hear a dog barking a mile away. It was insane. So we'd have to pause or pick certain times, or you'd be in your studio recording. No, can't do it today. Sorry. Directed sessions. The anxiety of having a directed session and not knowing if somebody's going to pop on the lawnmower or the old leaf blower, you know. And so this has relieved a lot of anxiety and stress. And it's purple, and I love purple. I like to be in a purple glow. So that's where I'm at. And again, I love it. It's so fun to work for yourself. Really, it is.
Well, that's what the dentistry is about. At least in my situation, I was my own boss, and I had a staff with me, but it was my responsibility to coach up my staff to where it felt like they were their own bosses, and they and I worked together really well. But it is nice. You know, now that I'm retired, I'm doing things that are just dependent upon me. Of course, I do have to get permission from my wife at times to
that's what we do.
You know, you mentioned a number of things there, Lori, and I let you go and continue talking, and I was making notes. You probably noticed. And there was a number of things that I liked. One thing that you said, you know, it's unpredictable, but you love it. And I don't think that you were saying that you love the unpredictability of it, of your career.
No.
But any business, even successful businesses, have a high degree of unpredictability associated with them. That's just something that you learn, and you have to face it courageously and understand that, okay, this unpredictable moment or little section of time here, it's not going to last forever. And, you know, always having faith in your process and faith in your purpose and what you're doing. I sensed that in our first conversation that another word you used was commitment, and you've stayed committed to yourself. I liked that you said that you sensed something inside that you knew that it needed to come out, and you finally found it. And it was, well, you found other things, but this is the one that you threw against the wall, and it is sticking.
Yes.
And you're loving doing it, even though it is unpredictable. I want you to speak to that just a little bit more, but I don't know what the specific question is.
About the unpredictability?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I can talk to you about that. How about I give you a day-to-day or a day in the life or something like that? I'll give an example of a day. So I have several agents. They're all in agencies. So I have a lot of agents, and then I'm signed with seven different agencies. So any given time and any given day, you will receive an audition and it will have a due date and time. So when I wake up in the morning, I check my email and I do auditions across the board from different places. I get them from agents, from casting sites, production companies, wherever they come from. That's the three main. And so you open your inbox and you've got a slew of casting side auditions. You could have some agent stuff in there. I could have some production company stuff. I could have an email. You have a job. It's due today. It's due in 2 hours. I mean, anything you can imagine. I need this now. I need this at 5 p.m. So anything scheduled in my day that requires an appointment or something, that can be tough sometimes to during the work week. It's usually 9 to 5-ish, but I get things in my email up until 7, 8 o'clock at night sometimes because my agents are on West Coast, Mountain Time, Central Time. I have clients in Europe. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
So yeah, wake up in the morning, check the inbox. I have a kind of a system, take the dog out, and then I mentally prepare for the day. That's very important to me. Everybody's process is different. I have some issues with, I have a lot of issues here, John, but I have a vocal cord thing that it's called muscle tension dysphonia. And basically it's caused by stress. It started during the pandemic, so much better now, but I have to manage it. So I have to warm up and do my warm ups, do my tongue twisters. There's a lot of things that I work on, my articulation. When I lost a lot of my hearing, you know, I didn't hear at 100% without hearing aids, and I still don't, but it changed my speech pattern. It changed how I spoke. It caused a speech impediment. So I have to really be mindful of that kind of stuff. So I do, you know, tongue exercises, articulation stuff, tongue twisters. I meditate. I do a lot of things just to, I use this thing, this little, it's called a vocal straw, and it warms up your vocal cords. So I do that. Okay. And that can take 45 minutes to an hour. I read out loud for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I jump in. I usually do some casting site stuff first. And then unless something's really pending in my inbox, I do that in the morning. Oh, I exercise first. I always exercise before I do strength training, before any of that. And then we just go with the day. So at any given day, like I said, I could have a job in the inbox or a rush job or auditions. So they just kind of pop in throughout the day. And you might be like, it might be 3 p.m. and you're like, yeah, this day's going great, you know, and then it just hits and you got audition. And just, it can be stressful sometimes. And you have to be on as soon as you walk in the booth. And that could be any time during the day. So you could be at the dentist getting a teeth cleaning. And then you come home and you're, you know, playing some weird character. You're like screaming at the top of your lungs or doing some random, I'm playing a school bus driver and yelling at the kids or, you know, whatever. So that's can be really strange for some people to think about. I mean, you literally, I step in the booth and I'm doing whatever. Now, most of the time, it's commercial auditions and radio commercial auditions. So those generally, for the most part, aren't playing a character, but sometimes you have those little characters in radio commercials. But you still have to get in that mode of, I'm doing voiceover. Most commercial auditions, you're really just playing yourself. You're just talking to someone like, hey, John, I tried this new laundry detergent and I really love it. You should buy it, you know, like that kind of thing. So I don't put on for stuff like that. But then there's things that you have to kind of put on for character and promo work or radio imaging. It's more, a little more of the acting portion of your brain. So yeah, that's what's unpredictable. And it can be, you know, pretty stressful just you're having a bad day, you know, and you have to come in here and be like, hey, bye, yeah. Whatever. My dog passed away about 6 weeks ago, and I had to record a job within 24 hours of that. That was an upbeat, and I was incredibly sad. She was like my little soulmate, and I had to record a job the next day and tried to get out of it. And I could have said no, but I did it, and it went really well. But no one would ever know that I was on the verge of crying, and then I had to jump in my booth and do that. So you just kind of have to learn to block out certain things in your mind. There's things I do in the booth, like turn music on. I have pictures of my nieces in here, pictures of my dog in here. I have a picture of Nadja from What We Do in the Shadows. If you have not watched that, it's very good. It's a vampire comedy, and they just kind of make me smile. And so I have those to remind me of love, basically. That's what I try to go in each audition with, the feeling of love, even if it's something angry, just really loving myself and everyone around me. Just, it's just something that I do. Very, very unpredictable. But again, I love it. It's a good distraction too. Sometimes it's a good distraction from life. You get to play somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get to, I have this beautiful window in my booth. I can see the trees swaying right now in the backyard, and I can look out there, and, you know, I'm not just closed in the box. And a lot of voice actors are, they don't have that. They don't have a window or anything to look at. And I knew that for my own mental state that I needed natural light in here.
Yeah.
For me to just really excel.
You hit a lot of great points there, Lori. And, you know, I want to tell the audience that I did not prep you at all before we had this conversation, other than saying we're just going to have a little campfire conversation.
You did not.
You're saying a lot of things that I wanted, that I want the audience to hear. I love what you talked about in saying that you think about love before you go in and start doing your commercials. And so you're putting yourself into a mindset. And all too often, I think people ignore that. And I think that's very important, is to do a checkup on your mindset before you approach people. And in dentistry, I think, you know, that is something that is really overlooked. We get into our day and we expect people to accept us for our shortcomings and whatever. And we can be a little bit, not rude, but not ultra polite and whatever. But every time before I walked into an operatory with a patient, I would pause for a moment and I would do a little mindset correction. And I would remind myself that this patient deserves my best, my right. absolute best right now. And so I would posture and get my mindset as such to where when I went in, they felt like I was fully present with them.
That makes sense. I think a lot of us, I heard this somewhere else, but people tend to, through the day, if something happens to them, they're just collecting trash. Like, you know, they get cut off.
Yes.
That's a
yes.
piece of trash, and then another thing and a piece of trash. And then maybe they work as a dentist and they've got all this trash right from their day. And if they don't try to clear that out and dump it before they go into something, then it comes with them. And I think that is basically what I do. Even if I don't have trash from that day, I still have trash from my entire, you know, 45 years of life. And so I, you know, maybe I'm in a bad mood or whatever. So taking that breath and that pause, I think what you're saying is really, really important, just to kind of clear your mind and head in and not bring all that other junk with you. Because I think a lot of people do that, and a lot, especially in positions of power or, you know, doctors and things like that. Maybe the patient before was really rude and they're still carrying that. Well, that patient's not that other patient. They're, you know, so I see that a lot, and I wish more people would kind of embrace that.
Yeah. You know, and it's just because for some reason there may have been a little bit of a difficult interaction, patient exchange or whatever, just before I'm walking into this next patient, doesn't mean I should bring that in and dump that emotion and carry that persona in and let it affect my relationship there. And it's like with your thing, Lori, that you understand you have to bring and you need to bring for yourself, but not only it's for your client also. You have to bring your best to give them the best so that then they can take your product and attach it to their best product and mm-hmm. realize the impact of the marketing or the statement that's needing to be made.
Right.
You talked a lot about preparation also, that, you know, you may do, like with me, it wasn't a very long intro, maybe what, 20 seconds, 25 mm-hmm. seconds, but you have to go through a lot of preparation for that particular moment in time, because I, like all of your other customers, I couldn't wait when you sent me that email and says, here it is. I couldn't wait to get in there and listen to, I don't know how many you gave me, 6, 8
yeah,
different reads. And I couldn't wait to listen to each one of them. And I listened intently for the voice inflex. And I listened for what was your voice and what were the words telling me in conjunction with each other. Not just the voice, but not just the words, but what were they together telling me? Listening to someone speak, it's what is the whole package telling us?
Yeah.
And that's what I couldn't wait to get in there and see that, but or listen to that. But that took a lot of preparation on your part, didn't it?
Yeah. The prep part that it took for me, so we don't really prep for reads. We just, and now some voice actors do. I get the copy and I just dive in. I may read over it once. In the past, it used to be when you're just starting, you really have to prep. You know, you're reading over, you may do 30 takes before you get one that you like. If you're at that point, you should not be working yet, because that would just take up the majority of your day. So something like that, you know, just pop in, read it over. I'm a visualizer, so I kind of visualize, oh, who am I talking to about this? And what do I want my audience to hear? Again, approach it with love and just go for it. And all the prep is all the coaching and all the other stuff that I did that morning or whatever over the last few years leads you up to that moment of your job and what you need to do. So that's the prep to get to that point, basically.
Yeah. You know, you talked about earlier in your life that you had a number of instances where, you know, people kind of made fun of you. And so, you know, that is a form of rejection.
Right.
And you can only take so much of that. Mm-hmm. How did you, and when did you emotionally just kind of rebound and say enough and figure out how to deal with that?
I would say I still have a tough time with it, but it's kind of in a different way. It's kind of like, okay, bring it on. Where's the challenge? I kind of face it head on now, whereas back then I just kind of suffered in silence kind of thing. I would say somewhere in high school, I got a little feistier. I had a bully that, she'd been making fun of me for years, her and her friend. And she said something to me in the bathroom at high school. And I turned to her and I said a curse word. I'm not going to say it. And I was like, don't ever talk to me like that ever again, or I'm going to kick your whatever. I was over it. I was like, and you know, these are little tiny girls. Here I am, like almost 6 feet, you know, like who are you even trying to talk to? And then from there, I think, and I've always been a competitive person and have taken on challenges, but I would say from there, that was kind of a pivotal moment where I started to stand up for myself. And that really wasn't taught by, well, my dad, I guess he stood up for himself. My mom was never really that great at that, but I just kind of just took that and ran with it. And I've had, you know, ups and downs over the years, obviously more rejections and different things like that. But I'd say now I just kind of embrace it and just think, okay, it wasn't meant for me. And I have to be okay with rejection because I get rejected every day, millions of times. Every audition I send out, if I don't get the job, that's a way of being rejected. You literally hear nothing. So I've done thousands and thousands of auditions and not booked the work. So if you can't handle rejection or criticism, this is not the job for you. And sometimes I've gotten just kind of rude feedback on jobs, you know, not feedback on the end, but just, oh, we didn't like that take. That sounded whatever, you know, a robot and sounded disgusting, or that's not really what they say, but they don't understand that that kind of, that's not warranted. You don't need to say it in a rude way that we didn't like that take or whatever. But, you know, sometimes it happens and it's the nature of the business. So you have to be okay with being, I get critiqued all the time.
Yeah.
Every time in a coaching session or, you know, in a workout group or whatever. But yeah, I just had to, I think building confidence is what really helps that part, you know, not affect you as much. You know, I know I'm good at what I do. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. You just don't like it. And sometimes I don't like it, not because it's my performance. It's just not the voice for that job.
Exactly.
It just fit whatever. And I get that. And that's, we all have our moments, imposter syndrome and whatnot. But for the most part, my confidence is just, it's been built over time. It took me a long time to build my confidence and voiceover to really feel more comfortable. But I think that's normal, especially for someone that's not, was not a performer. And those theater acting, a lot of times their confidence is built up from the past because they know what they're doing. And I just kind of jumped in and like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. And once I was getting good feedback and working and just really, you can tell when you're good or not, I feel like. So it's just built over time. And
You know, with dentistry, Lori, one of the biggest concerns, one of the biggest obstacles, one of the biggest pains that the dentist experiences is the fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not like to not have a patient accept our treatment plan. We take it personally. And, you know, part of that, I think, is ego on the doctor. And that fear of rejection really holds back a lot of people. But, you know, in your situation, that constant rejection earlier in your life or being bullied or per se, there is, if we sit back and look at it, there is a gift that emerges somewhere out of that. And as I was hearing you speak, it was a renewed confidence and strength in knowing that you could do things and you could do them well. And you can do this particular thing very well that very few people can do. And so, you know, again, I make notes here as you're speaking and, you know, your courage, you know, constantly you're making yourself vulnerable during these auditions with the people, vulnerable for suggestion and the rejection. And but also you're making yourself very vulnerable to your coaches and your mentors to help you grow. And again, that's something that, again, making ourselves vulnerable and saying, teach me, coach me, and whatever. Sometimes some people look at that as weakness. And I do not see that as a weakness. I see that as an incredible strength to go and say, hey, I need help with this. And too many people shy away and totally pivot away from that to maintain that wall around themselves because they don't want to feel further rejected, made fun of, or whatever. I've heard a lot of great things from you today that I love. And the message, if the dentist, my audience, sits back and thinks a little bit about this, this portrays life for people, Lori.
Right.
I mean, your life and what you have gone through is maybe some people have not gone through quite as many hard pains as you have, but they've experienced them. They've rebounded. You've stepped back. You assessed. You looked at yourself. You gave yourself permission to go on and keep walking.
Right.
Knowing that eventually something would happen, but also having faith in yourself,
right.
which again, last conversation and today, that's one of the big things I'm picking up with you is that you started developing a faith in who you are and where you wanted to go and your own personal process. And kudos to that. Because a lot of people, they give up. They give up, Lori.
Thank you.
They shelve it, and consequently, they don't make anything of themselves. And I feel like there's a degree of greatness in everybody. Is everybody going to be the Patrick Mahomes of quarterbacks? No. Is everybody going to be one of the world leaders? No. But there is greatness based upon the degree of greatness within that individual. Maybe
right.
different for you and me. But I think that it's there. We need to help spawn that with people and help them recognize that little seedling in there and feed it. And your greatness was in you. You kept looking and sifting for it, and you found it. Kudos to you, Lori. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been a journey, and I'm still on the journey. I always say I just keep pushing forward, step by step, day by day.
Yep.
Every day is different. Good days, bad days. You just have to keep moving forward, really take a look at your life. I think a lot of people don't assess themselves, like you said, and really look inside. And I've always been the type of person that does that. And more so as I've gotten older, I think as you get older, it changes too. And if you have a dream, see if it's possible. Just start. That's the hardest part. It's just the starting part. And being vulnerable with people, that's how we connect.
Great message. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Folks, that's Lori Wild.
Put it on a postcard.
Yeah. That's Lori Wild for us today. The message is there. Go back and replay a little bit and listen and see where what she says, how may it parallel your life, and then what you can take away from what Lori did and how she approached and overcame and is now the person that she is today, and see what you can learn from that and glean from that. So, Lori, I'm glad that you were with me today. I love it. We're going to have information, contact information in the show notes today as to how people may make connection for you if they would like to have some voiceover. You know, as a young kid, I will tell you this. I was always curious about Mr. Magoo, who was the voice behind that, Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny, and Tony the Tiger for Frosted Flakes.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
You knew there was a voice back there, and it intrigued me. I was very curious. So now I know a voice actor, and I know what goes on behind it, and I thank you for sharing your stories, Lori.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You betcha. So that's our show for today. I'm Dr. John, your host.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.